Thankful for Adam and Holly preparing and sharing with us this morning. We do want to trust the bridge, who is Jesus, to get us to heaven and to change our lives here right now. And if you'd like to help out, and some of the young folks like to help out in future presentations before the message, you can see Mrs. Nelson to get that going, and she'll put you in one of those illustrations for sermons. They make the sermon go a lot better. So I do encourage that 100%. And when I was in elementary school, I really liked math as a subject. I liked to thrive on addition, subtraction. And math had a lot to do with memorization, and I was good at that, so that was no problem. Make good grades in math. And little did I know the difficulty that I would experience later in senior high when I would have to take the higher maths and had seemed less to do with addition and subtraction and had to do with all kind of theories and axioms and logarithms and all those things that might bring back frightening memories to you. I remember being given a slide rule and being told, you'll use the slide rule in math class. And I wanted to, you know, use it as a sword, not as a proper tool. Also, calculators came out, and for the first time in the history of schools, public schools, you were allowed to use a calculator. And even that was very intimidating to me. Even with my best effort in the higher maths as a 12th grader, I worked like a dog for a C-. That's the best I could do. And my heart was very discouraged, no longer being a future mathematician. So here I am. Preaching. But if you were to ask me back then, hey, we're going to enroll you in the Albert Einstein School of Mathematics, and he's going to be your teacher, personal teacher. He's going to work with you 100%, pour his life into your life, and train you. I would say that's not even a plan that I had thought about in my heart. I don't see that happening. I don't think like Albert Einstein thinks. You'd have to rewire my brain. If I take the class at all, let me sit way in the back and just hope something good happens. That's my response. But God comes to us in the Bible and tells us something very similar. He tells us something true. He says, I am working in you after we receive Christ. He says, I'm working in you to make your character like my son Jesus. And that can be great news for us. It is great news, but it can be also very intimidating. I think a lot of times our response is similar to what I shared before. We say, Lord, you don't understand the raw material you're working with. We don't have that kind of ability. Lord, we don't think like Jesus thought. Lord, what are we going to do? And in a desperate sense, we pray with respect to God. God, help us. God, help us. And the Holy Spirit is committed to helping us become like Jesus in our character. And boy, he's committed to working on us. We could trust in him. God's word says in Romans 8, you are destined to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. That's part of God's good plan for us. He'll work on our hearts in that way. And I always thought, when you love somebody, you want to be like that person. So in a real sense, the character of Christ, knowing how wonderful he is, we want to follow in his footsteps with his great help. We can't do it without him, that's for sure. Now, the Amplified Bible puts that goal the Lord has to make us like Christ in our character in this way. God destined us to be molded and to share inwardly his likeness. Jesus' likeness. Now, there's a whole host of scriptures that come to mind when we hear about that. Jesus said, for example, a student fully trained will be like his teacher. A student fully trained, like his teacher. You got the fella going, guys and gals going into the military. When they're trained, they're like their instructor. And the Lord is training us. Paul wrote, we are being changed into Christ's likeness from glory to glory, one step after the next. Sometimes we take two steps forward, three steps backwards. But he's still making progress in our hearts. John said this, whoever claims to be in Christ, this is a big one, must walk as Jesus did. And so we do pray again. Oh God, in a real sense, oh Lord, help us. Oh Lord, help us. And I think this is one of the best purposes mentioned in the Purpose Driven Life book that Rick Warren wrote. I think it's a key one. It has to do with Jesus. I think it helps us not have a religion that's just like every other religion. It's the real God working in the real you and me to change our character. And how important it is in our lives that we put ourselves before the Lord so that he can build himself through us. Critical to our walk, our work. Mahatma Gandhi was a Hindu, very committed Hindu, did a lot of good things in his life. He was asked one day, why don't you believe in Christ? Just believe in Christ and follow him. Why don't you do that? And his response was telling, he said, I'll believe in Christ and follow him as soon as I find somebody who really follows him. So I can follow him too. And in a way, that was a cop-out for Gandhi. He didn't want to know the Lord personally, so he sidestepped him, blaming it on you and me, you might say. But he had a point. Maybe he just needed a Christian friend to show him some of the heart of Jesus. Maybe that would draw him to the Lord himself. But that call from our own hearts and from the hearts of people around us is real. Lord, I want to know if you're real, and I want to know it by you changing my heart. That's how I know you're really real. I can understand how you would get me from going to hell to going to heaven. Your cross and your forgiveness of sins. My heart desperately needs that. But I want to know too, Lord, along the way, that you can make a real difference in the way I live. Please be that way for me. And that's our call this morning. Christ's character in us. I use the title purposely, in us, as opposed to Christ's character in you. So we don't have a situation where Jesus works with us just as an individual, and you get real holy by yourself, and the rest of us are kind of bystanders, hoping someday we'll attain the level of holiness that you have. When Christ forms his character in us, he uses one another. Just like the body of Christ can't be healthy if the eye is apart from the foot, if the heart is apart from the head. So you and I can't be Christ-like in our character unless we help each other out in that. It's not going to happen. So it's Christ's character formed in his people. And so we can be encouraged in that manner. Warren does a great job telling us about some tools we need for that to happen. We need prayer. We pray desperately and consistently. We look into God's Word. He changes our heart that way. We need church, each other. He also says we need troubles. We need troubles to make us like Christ. So we all qualify on that. End of the qualifications. But in our troubles, we are not to face our troubles alone. Troubles don't automatically make people Christ-like. You probably have experienced in your life and with others. But with our troubles, we can turn to God and ask for his help. Don't have to hide our troubles from him or even of other brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he works his character in us, giving us that love, and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control that he constantly wants to give us as a gift. So I thought, what's the healthiest thing we could do as a group of people who want Christ's character continually formed in us? The most healthy thing we could do is turn to Christ himself. And I just put three prayers in the bulletin there that might be of help to you as you cry out to God and say, Lord, keep doing your good work in me. I want to see the fruit of your Holy Spirit growing in hearts around me and in my heart. The first prayer I have is this. Lord, thank you for being patient with me because I know you're not finished with me yet. Thank you, Lord. And before I say a little more about that prayer, I do want you to know that the Lord holds himself out as the leader of believers, the real Jesus, and all his love, all his kindness. And he works in us with that high standard, but he doesn't condemn us along the way. So if you find in your heart, you might be saying, you know, boy, I'm not even close to Christ-like character. I don't know what in the world I'm trying to get into here. Know that the Lord works with you toward himself, but doesn't ever say to you, well, how come you're lagging so far behind? How could you be so dumb to sin again? You know, the Lord knows how dumb our sin is. It's dumber than we think. And he meets us at that point and says, come on, I can work with you. And I love you where you're at. Because Christ's character and his building his character in us, it's very important that we know it's not based on his expectations of us, but it's based on who the Lord is. Who the Lord is will bring it to pass. And so we're to say, Lord, thank you for your patience. I know you're not finished working in our hearts yet. I knew a pastor at one time who ran marathons. Pastors do irrational things. A marathon is a 26-mile race. So I did that in a car once. That was it. 26-mile race. I asked him. He was an Alliance pastor of Cambridge Springs Alliance Church. I said, Larry, Pastor Larry Mills, how did you get into marathons? How did you get started? He said, I started by jogging a half a mile a couple of times a week. A half a mile, a couple of times a week. I'm thinking, you know, with God's help, I could do that. Just a little bit, one step at a time. Thank you, Lord, you'll work with me where I'm at. And how do you finish a 26-mile race, Larry? He says, I just run 1 mile. That's all I do, 1 mile, then I run the next mile. Then I run the next mile. And with God's help, he completes the course. But we should know, if the Lord's going to show himself in us and bring changes to our hearts, he's the one who calls us to that discipline. He says in the first Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I who began a good work in you will carry it to completion at the day of Christ. God works in our heart to accomplish what we can't accomplish by ourselves. And yet it requires us to have a willingness and a bit of a self-discipline. You have to get yourself out of bed, for example, to come to church service. That's step one. Pray, talk to the Lord. It takes a little bit of an open-hearted effort on the matter. I think in believers in the United States, when we think of church discipline, we think of the elders knocking on your door and saying, well, how come you got into that sin the other day? But discipline really is a lifestyle. Paul said the Christian life was like the strict training of an athlete. I don't know if you come to church to get strict training, you know, or it's at the vacation on the beach. Paul said it's more like the Christian life, strict training. Oh, through the discipline of God and what he's doing in us, the character of Jesus is more and more shown. Paul said, for example, I struggle with all the energy which so powerfully works in me. I labor, he said. He was willing to labor. So you and I, we say, Lord, give me that discipline like that pastor did who ran a marathon. Lord, you're in it for the long haul with me. In the book of Hebrews, God says, God disciplines us so we could share his holiness. And that discipline is not just the difficult times we have when something goes wrong, but it's also the heart consistency and training you and I willingly put ourselves towards. Okay, to be trained by the Lord. And he's a good trainer. God won't give up on us. Don't give up on yourself. He'll bring out his character in us. The second prayer I picked was, probably should have been the first prayer. The prayer is a prayer of surrender, which Vicki sang about. And we sang about together as you're all on the altar. And the prayer is this, Lord, I surrender everything to you. I recognize, Lord, I can't live my life without your help in a Christ-like manner. And I reach that conclusion as realistically as I did when I realized I was going to go to hell without Christ instead of heaven. I need Him for heaven. I will live a sloppy, sinful, rebellious life as a child of God without saying, Lord, I surrender everything. I'll mess up the different parts of my life big time. My wife one time tried to teach me how to run a standard transmission car. Before we got married, she had standard transmission. I had automatic. And I wanted to use her standard transmission. She said, not without some watching me. I watched, and then I got in the car. A lot of banging. And, she's constantly saying, you're going to ruin the clutch. Ruin the clutch. Let me ruin the clutch so I can drive smoothly. That's what I want. I would have ruined the car. And so I remember saying, again, I take the keys out. Here, Regina. This is your car. I will wreck it if I don't watch again. And don't miss the point. Does the Lord ever ask us to run our own lives? Say, go ahead, run your own life. We have to surrender. Say, Lord, I know I cannot live running my life on my own. I need your guidance. Here's the keys, Lord. It's your life. You take charge and I will watch. And I will try to put into practice what I see. To surrender to the Lord. Vicki saying, I am not my own. And a lot of people think, boy, for a Christian to do that, that's really putting yourself in a dangerous situation. How dangerous and foolhardy it is to do the other. To say, well, I want to trust God for heaven, but I won't trust Him to take care of how I treat others, how Jesus will be formed in me. Oh, we need His help desperately for that. And He'll do it as we surrender to Him. Marty mentioned in her testimony, there were different times in her life where she reaffirmed, as she said, her relationship to Christ. And there may be a lot of believers here today that made a decision for Christ by saying, Lord, come into my life and be my Savior so I can go to heaven. But you never said, I surrender all my, I give you the car keys, Lord. Surrender my thoughts, my goals, my attitudes, my relationships. You know, you'll make a wreck of them without the Lord. Those things aren't going to last anyway unless the Lord builds the house. Vain are they who labor. So we should know the alternative of surrendering to Christ is making a total wreck out of things. And we should know by experience and by the truth of God's Word it doesn't work. But when Jesus comes, He would come and teach us one step at a time, patiently, lovingly, hanging in there with us. And what a great one it is to surrender. I don't know, who would you rather surrender to than Christ? He's God, He's holy, He's faithful and loving. Why would you surrender to yourself? You know how you are. Why don't you surrender to Christ instead of yourself? And the last prayer I think we pray when we know, will Christ's character please be formed in us? Be a big part of our lives, Lord. I know providentially was prayed before the service here. Fill us up, Lord, till you spill over all over the place. I like that. We could pray to the Lord, Lord, be yourself in us today. Be yourself. And really do your work through us. I have an older brother who plays golf. He's a very good golfer. And I play golf also. And my brother, years ago, was a 3-handicap golfer. I don't know golf real clearly, so I think that means whatever par is, which is considered a perfect golf game, he's only three hits under par. That's very good. And great golfer. Golfs every Saturday and Sunday. And he may hear this message, so should be in church on Sunday instead. Put that in there for him. But This summer, I did better than my brother in golf. I got a hole in one on a putt-putt course. But if I were to play the real game of golf, 18 holes, you know, 300 yards to one hole, I would really like to say, boy, if I could be like my brother, and if he could somehow share his qualities and just put him in my life just for one round, oh boy, wouldn't that be great? And how might that work itself out when I would come and have to make a decision? What am I going to think as I pick the right club? I would turn to him. His name's Bill. Bill, what club would you pick? What do you think? What do you think, Bill? Now, list what he thinks. I would say, okay, I want to think that way too, because I know the way you are. And if things got difficult on the long 18 whole course and people started to mock us and tell us to hurry up, what are we going to say? What are we going to say? Bill, what do you say? Whatever you would say, I would say, because you know more about golf than me. And how about what to do when things get difficult or come to the end of the course? What am I going to do? What would you do? What would you do? I'll do whatever you do. And if he could share with me be a teacher to me, somehow get in my heart, give me the qualities he's have, boy, you'd say, and I could play one round of golf, you'd look at me and say, wow, you're just like your brother. You're just like your brother. Isn't that great? And if we look at Jesus and say, like Paul said, boy, it's no longer I who live, I've tried that, but Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. What do you think, Lord? Lord, here I come on Tuesday. What are you going to say, Lord, through me? I got to do something. What are you going to do, Lord? We surrender to God and let him be himself in us. Lord, be yourself in us. No longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And when you think of what the Lord would do, not just following him, but let him fill us and inhabit us and let himself work through us. I think the Lord does that in so many ways. You know, there's a part of your life that somebody looks at and says, you remind me of Jesus the way you said that and did that. There's a part of your life about which that is true. And if you can't see it, that's okay. You know who sees it most? The Lord sees it. Because he sees his work in us before we do. He says, ah, it's my son or daughter, just like I taught them, just like I am in their hearts. And, you know, that all happens because God's gracious, and he doesn't want to send us to heaven miserable and frustrated. He does want us to send us to heaven sharing the life of our loved one, the Lord. And so if you could think about your relationship with him, just surrender to him this morning if you've never done that. Do that afresh this morning if you have, and say, Lord, thanks for your patience. I surrender all. Please be yourself in me. God will do good things in your heart, and you'll be a good example pointing others to him. Even when we fall, you'll be somebody will say, well, that was the best example of repentance I ever saw. When that guy messed up, or gal messed up, they just went right back to the Lord. And I know what to do now when I sin. And might God be himself in us. Let's pray together as we turn to him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are and what you're like, and all the things in the scriptures that just shine the spotlight on you. Lord, you fulfilled the law. You loved God. You loved your neighbor as yourself. You are the living example of a love that is patient and kind and doesn't keep record of wrongs and everything that the scripture says about you in 1 Corinthians 13. And then, Lord, you're the epitome of the fruit of the Spirit. and how you'd like to share your life with us, we are thankful for that. Father, I pray we would not be discouraged or intimidated about your good work, but would just put our hearts in your hand and say, Lord, be yourself in us and work in us beyond what we expect or think. Not that, Father, this would be a self-conscious concern about our character, but would be concerned about you, Lord, your character, and how we want to be trained and learned and do what your Holy Spirit would do in our hearts. We gladly surrender, Father, because we've tasted the result of not surrendering. Be with each heart, Father, that might make an eternal decision for you today. Say, I'd rather walk in the ways of the Master. Be your good Lord to each one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So. We sing here this last song. Sometimes it's helpful to turn to God in a public way and say, Lord, I really need your help. I need a brother or sister to pray for me about surrendering to you. You take the keys of your life and say, these are Jesus' keys. And just wanted to let him know that. Wanted to ask others for help in praying for me. You're welcome to come forward if you have a area of your life you'd like to surrender to the Lord, or just who you are. He'll gladly receive. One great promise Christ gives anybody who comes to him, he would no way turn aside. You come to another person, a friend of yours, you might have a question. Why are you coming to me? The Lord would know why you'd come to him. So come to him in your heart. Come to him at the place of prayer if God would lead you, and enjoy him as we sing this song. Thank you.